My name is Richard G. Anderson, and it is March 5th, 2008, about 7 p.m., and I'm in the process of doing an oral interview with George Lee Sandridge here at my home, 2671 Brownsburg Turnpike in Brownsburg, Virginia. George, you want to give us your full name?
George Lee Sandridge.
And where do you live? What's your address?
I live at 21 Dutch Hollow Road. That's outskirts of Brownsburg, and I feel like I'm living in Brownsburg.
Right. And what was the date of your birth?
July 11th,
1931. All right, George. Let's just start with a little bit of your background. How long have you lived in the Brownsburg area?
76 years.
76 years. That's it, your entire life?
My entire life.
And where have you lived? Have you lived at the same place continuously?
Well, on the same farm.
On the same farm.
Same farm.
And that's on Dutch Hollow Road.
Dutch Hollow Road, yeah.
And were you born in Brownsburg?
Yes, I was, well, Dutch Hollow, but...
You were born at home?
Yes,
okay.
At home.
And who were your parents?
My dad was Harold Alton Sandridge, and my mother was Louise Wade Sandridge.
Harold, what was his name?
Louise Wade.
Louise Wade. Harold, middle name?
Howard.
Howard.
Howard Alton Sandridge.
Howard Alton Sandridge. And, had they lived here all their lives?
Yes, they have.
So
my mother and dad has, yes.
All right. And when did your family first come to Brownsburg area? If you know.
My grandfather lived at the Slusser place that passed New Promise Church for a few years, and then he bought a farm on Dutch Hollow. It must have been 1905 or 1906 or something like that.
So your grandparents were the first family members to live here?
Yes, my grandfather came from Amherst County.
Came from Amherst County. And that was early 1900s.
Yeah, probably, yes, 1905 or something. My dad was born 1904. Out here at the Slusser place. And then shortly after that, my grandfather bought the farm on Dutch Hollow.
Okay. What's your first memory of Brownsburg or the Brownsburg area?
Well, I remember when I was a little boy, my dad used to come to Huffman's store. That's the only place we ever went, really, was to come to Brownsburg to store on Saturday night. And what I remember about it is he would bring 12 dozen egg crates of case of eggs to the store, and he didn't buy much groceries back then, so he would always get some money back.
So he was selling eggs to the store?
Yes, he was selling eggs, and he'd buy sugar and coffee and things that you couldn't raise on a farm.
I see. How big a family did you all have? How many brothers and sisters?
There's four boys in my family. Mm-hmm. My grandfather had three boys and a girl.
Did they all live around here too?
Well, two of them lived around here, and two of them went to Stanton.
I see. And then in your family were four boys?
Yes, four boys.
What were their names?
Howard, Harold, and Clyde, and myself. I was the second.
You were the second. And who were some of your neighbors?
The Swishers. Doc Swisher, Arlen Poole, Friel Poole, Charlie Poole. A lot of pools in Dutch Hollow, and Hockman's. That's about it.
Well, we talked about the names of other relatives who lived in the Brownsburg area. Were there other, did you have uncles or other relatives?
Well, I had an uncle, my dad's brother, Charlie, Uncle Charlie.
He lived here?
He lived in Dutch Hollow, too.
I see. Anybody else like that?
No, my aunt, when she got married, she married a Fadley Guffey and went to Stanton. And my uncle went to Stanton. He was a barber in Stanton.
What was his name?
Lapsley.
Lapsley. So two stayed and three went, or two went to Stanton. And,
yes, two, yeah.
All right. How about schools? Did you attend the Brownsburg School?
Yeah, the first remember I have of Brownsburg School, I came to school the last day of school with my brother in the old school. And I was in the first class in the new school in 1938.
When you say the old school, you mean the academy building?
The old academy, yes.
So
my brother went to, he was in the first grade up there, and the last day of school, I came to school with him.
I see. Just to find out what it was all about.
Yes.
And so when you started school, though, you were in the newer building.
I was, yeah.
What happened to the old building?
Well, they still used it for other classes.
I see. But you, when you started, you were in the newer
building. Well, yeah, I had...
Did you use the old building?
I think I... First, second, and third grade was in the new building, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth is seventh was up in the other building, and then the high school was in the new building.
I see. So you attended all of your high elementary and high school?
All of it at Brownsburg, okay. Yes.
Now, I understand from others that there was no eighth grade, so you went like first seven grades in elementary school and then high school?
No, I was in the first class to take eighth grade.
Oh, so right. Well, you came along, there was an eighth grade.
Yeah, I was,
was the first,
yeah, they put it in the year that we went from the seventh to the eighth.
I see. So. Yeah, but when was that? When would that have been? Let's see, you started, you say, in 1938. So was that at the end of World War II?
Must have been about 1945.
And then when
I graduated in 50.
You graduated from the high school in
1950.
All right, so four back from that
1946.
Yeah. So the eighth grade was probably 45.
Must have went in 45.
1945. Right. All right, how about names of teachers? Do you remember any of your teachers?
Yes, I remember a bunch of them. Ms. Brown was the eighth grade teacher when I went into the eighth grade. I remember her real well.
Okay.
And
why do you remember her real well?
I don't know. She just helped me a lot.
Okay. Do you remember your first grade teacher?
Yes, Molly Sue Hull.
That became Molly Sue Whipple.
Molly Sue Whipple, yeah.
She was your first grade teacher.
And second grade was Ms. Rubush.
How do you spell that? Because I've run into that name before. R-O-B-U-S-H?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Rubush. Rubush. I believe it's R-U-B-U-S-H.
Okay, that sounds about right. Okay.
And Ms. Williams was my third grade teacher, and fourth grade, I think we had about four teachers that year. Ms. Buchanan was a fifth grade teacher, and I think the sixth grade was Ms. Lowe. I don't know know who the seventh was, but I know Ms. Brown was the eighth, and then Mr. Lindsay, and Reverend Boaknight, and Miss Agner, Miss Lauderdale.
Those are high school teachers.
Yeah, those are high school teachers, yes.
Did most of the teachers stay there more than 1 year? Did they stay?
Yes.
A lot of them stayed a long time.
Ms. Williams was there a long time. Ms. Buchanan was there a long time. Ms. Brown was for a long time.
And who was the principal when you were going there? Did they have a principal?
Yeah. Stockner. Mr. Stockner.
Is that S-T-O-C?
S-T-O-C-K.
N-E-R.
N-E-R, yeah. Dan Berger. Miss Trimmer. Yeah, Miss Trimmer.
I was going to ask you about Miss Trimmer.
Yeah, I was in elementary school when she was there.
So she was still the principal at that time?
Yes. She was there till I was about 7th, 8th grade or something like that.
What did you think of her?
She was great. She was strict.
Pretty strict, right?
She was real strict, yeah. She did things right.
I understand she lived in the Brownsburg area.
Yes, I'm pretty sure she did.
So, any other particular school memories that you'd like to share with us? Any things that happened up there that you remember well?
No, I don't remember anything. I just loved to go to school because I loved to play baseball and basketball.
Now, how did you get to the school?
And we had a bus, of course, yes.
So you were bused from home to the school?
Yes,
Did you then stay after school for athletic events or athletic activities?
Yeah, we stay after school for basketball and baseball practice and walk home.
And you walked home?
We walked home 3 miles and a half.
Yeah, well, but you enjoyed doing that?
Yes, I did, yeah. My brother and I were both on the same team, and we'd walk home after school.
So you had some company?
Yes.
Any other activities that you remember particularly doing up there?
No, not really, just baseball and basketball.
Okay. Were there social activities, dances and things like that?
Yeah, we had class parties. I think about every year, each class would have a party. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember much about it.
Okay. So then, once you graduated, you graduated, what year now?
1950.
Then you went back to the farm?
Yes, went to, yeah, I've been on a farm all my life.
So you had you been helping on the farm before you graduated?
Oh, yes, ever since I was about 12 years old.
What did you do?
Cut corn, shock wheat, and barley, and put up hay and everything.
What kind of farm? Was it a general farm?
It was a dairy farm.
Dairy farm.
We ran a dairy farm for 30 years.
Okay. So did you help with the milk production?
Yes.
Okay. So that was your dad and your brothers, and you helped on the farm?
Well, my brothers helped till they finished school, and they all went away, and I stayed there and helped my dad to run the farm.
So you're the only one who stayed on the farm?
Yes.
Okay. Why, was that a choice that you desired?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a farmer.
So you weren't disappointed by other possibilities?
No, it was rough, but it wasn't much money in it, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. And you kept up with that for how long, the farming?
Well, I'm still in that business.
You're still in the business. But you're not doing a dairy farm, not running a dairy
no,
farm at this point.
No, we sold a dairy in 59. Now we've got beef cattle.
Pretty much beef cattle, anything, any other crops or?
No, well, we just put up hay.
Hay.
To feed the beef cattle.
I see. When you were growing up, did you raise a lot of vegetables and things like that too?
Oh, we raised everything. We did, like I said, first we didn't buy anything when you went to the store. The only thing you bought was sugar and coffee and things that you couldn't raise on the farm.
Did you have pigs as well?
Yeah, it had pigs, chickens, guineas, ducks, turkeys,
oh,
everything. Rabbits, everything, anything that you can make a nickel off.
And of course you used some of it for your own family. And
yes, uh-huh.
Right. So
yeah, I used to have ducks when I was a little kid. I raised ducks, and at Easter time I'd sell duck eggs to raise a little bit of money.
That must have been fun.
Yeah.
And how did that phase out? In other words, the raising of all those different types of animals and poultry and so on. Do you still raise poultry?
No. No, we get rid of the hogs and the chickens and the ducks and everything. I think we did that when we went into the dairy business, because you had enough work to do in the dairy business.
Kept you busy.
You didn't need these other things to do.
I see. When did you start that dairy? When did they start the dairy?
1948.
48.
And sold it in 78, I believe.
Okay. So you did that for about 30
years? 30 years, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How big a herd was it?
We had
35
cows.
And all the equipment that goes with it, I guess.
Yeah, we started off milking by hand with 6 or 7 cows and kept getting bigger and bigger until we finally got a electric milker and a pipeline and had the whole works.
So originally started out milking by hand?
By hand, definitely. Just
did you have bucket. Other help with that, or was just
well, my mother, dad, and us boys, we all milk. We had, I think we had about 10, 12 cows at one time milking by hand.
And the milk, where did it go from the farm? How did it get into the market? Or did you sell milk directly from the farm?
Yeah, we had this spring house and poured a spring water run through the watering trough, and you would milk the cows. And had a separator, and you run the milk through a separator and get the cream and put the cream in this watering trough. And then every so often a guy would come by and pick up the cream and take it to Stanton Creamery and sell it, and that was really our money.
Was the cream?
Yeah, the cream, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they did pick up and from you all.
Yeah, a neighbor up there, he hauled their cream to Stanton.
Mm-hmm. So the mechanization first came sort of, what, late 40s or early 50s to the farming operation? When I say mechanization, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, you mean tractors and.
Tractors,
yeah,
and other equipment like that.
I would say about 1943, 44.
So earlier, yeah.
Yes.
Did you use horses at any point?
Oh, we had horses before that, yes.
And they helped with the farming operation?
Yeah, they did all the work, really.
course, you had to take care of them.
Yeah, you had to take care of your horses, and we'd get home from school, us boys, but mother and daddy would go out in the field and shuck corn all day, and when we got home from school, we'd have to take the horses and load the corn up on the wagon and take it and put it in the granary.
So there was a lot of a big corn operation too.
There was, yeah, it was constantly working.
And how was that marketed? I mean, where did the corn go from the farm?
We didn't sell any. We fed it to the horses.
Fed it to the animals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was primarily
to the chickens and everything we had.
To keep the animals going.
Yes.
How many horses did you have, you think?
Four.
You
usually had four.
And they did most of the heavy work.
Yeah, they did the plowing, the disking, and the planting, and everything till
we got tractors.
Till we got the first tractor.
When did you get the first tractor, you think?
I think it's 1940.
1940. After that, did you keep the horses or?
We kept them a few years till they finally faded away. Pretty soon you got another tractor and you got more machinery and you finally got rid of the horses.
So what other type of machinery was involved in later as time went on?
Well, we went from when you had the horses, you had to stack your hay up in the field and put it on a wagon and haul it in loose and put it in a mile. We call it a mile. Then you have to get up there and throw it out and feed it. And then the square baler come along and that eliminated a lot of that.
So there was hay baling equipment.
Hay baling, yes. And then a few years after that, the round baler come out and that took the labor out of all of it.
So. Now, did your dad have to hire additional people to help?
No.
Mostly just the family?
Him and I did it all after my brothers left.
Oh, goodness. That must have been quite a job.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of work.
You never run out of something to do if you're a farmer.
Sure of that. I think we covered that. All right, let's switch subjects a little bit now. Did you attend any of the area churches? If so, which ones?
Yes, I've attended New Providence Church all my life.
All your life. Did your parents go there too?
Sir?
Did your parents go there too?
Yes.
So you started as a child?
Yes, I did.
And what are your memories of going to church?
I remember Miss Sally Reed McClung was the first Sunday school teacher, and she taught us the Ten Commandments and the catechism and all that kind of stuff. I'll never forget that.
How old were you when that took place?
Probably six.
Six?
Five or six.
So you
probably younger than that.
So you started pretty early.
Yes.
And did you go to the Sunday school classes regularly then?
Yes.
How many children would be attending Sunday school when you were going there?
I'd say 10.
10 or so?
10 in each class, yes.
And I meant to ask that question also about the schools. How big were your school classes?
I think it was about 25 or 30. And the grades, and then as you got up, when I graduated, it wasn't but 11.
Only 11 in your graduating
11
class?
11 in the class.
And where did those students come from? Did they come just from the Brownsburg area or elsewhere?
They came from, most of them was from Brownsburg, Rayfine, and this area until Rock Ridge Baths elementary school closed, then the Rock Ridge Bass kids all come here.
So, at some point, the elementary school got bigger.
Yes, it did.
As a result of the, Rock Ridge.
It was Rock Ridge Bass, yes. I think it was about 30-some in the seventh and eighth grade, but when we got up to high school, a bunch had dropped out. So it wasn't but 11.
You remember any of the ministers?
Oh, yes.
Who do you remember particularly?
Well, I remember, I think, Locke White better than any because he was kind of a young guy and he played I was watched him play basketball lots of time.
What was his name again?
Locke White, Reverend Locke White.
Is that L-O-C-H or L-O-C-H? That's all right.
Okay. I just know Locke White. And David Walthall was after White. And
Well, that's all right. It's the ones that you remember most.
Well, I'm probably forgetting a bunch I know. John Boyd, David Koblenz,
Tom Biggs.
Don Campbell, Tom Biggs, yes.
So you've been there?
Yes, I've been there all.
For a long time. You also got active in the church itself, didn't you, after you grew up?
Yes, I went to youth fellowship when I was a teenager. But
and there were youth groups, weren't there?
Yeah, I was youth advisor for 8 years. Served as a deacon for about 6 years and an elder about 6 years. Did most everything.
Did most everything that was possible.
Yeah.
And how did you get to and from church?
Well, we had a car then.
When did you first get a car? When did your family first get a car? Do you remember?
I don't know.
Did you always have a car?
No, my parents went to church in a horse and buggy.
They did?
Yes, definitely. They had a horse and buggy. They went to church. I never did ride in the buggy.
You never did that?
No.
So by the time you got going to church or school or wherever, you had an automobile.
I had a car. At probably 19.
Was that before World War II?
I can't remember what the first car was. Seemed me like the 34 Ford. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
That's possible. Yeah, it's possible. But anyway, when you were growing up, you had access to, or your family had access to a car.
Yes, my dad did, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So when you went to church, you went in a car.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's go on and we'll ask this question. Describe what it was like to live in Brownsburg, either when you were growing up or later in life, and what you remember most about living in the Brownsburg area. That's a tough question, but it's a broad question. But what do you remember most about growing up in the Brownsburg area?
Well, I really wasn't in the Brownsburg area not very much till I got to be a teenager. Then I started kind of loafing around in here.
So what was going on in here in Brownsburg when you were a teenager?
Well, there wasn't anything going on. We just gather over here at John Layton's store and sit around and talk. It wasn't much to do.
So that was sort of a social activity, was gathering together.
Yes.
And meeting in the various stores. What other stores were there?
Well, the main store was Huffman. That's where we went all the time. But Soup Hangers was down on the corner, and I think there's only two, but at that time, the Farmers Co-op was down where Dick Barnes is.
Okay.
And the one here one time, wasn't it?
The store?
Right here.
I don't know.
I've heard that.
I don't know that, no.
Yeah, there's one here. I don't know who ran it, but there's one here, and the Boswells had a store down at the Boswells place. There's five stores in Brownsburg, I think, one time.
Okay. And when you were growing up,
Only ones I remember is Huffman's and Soup Hangers. So the other three had gone out of business.
Okay. And your co-op.
And, yes.
The co-op here, yeah.
And then Weitzel's opened up later on. But when I was a teenager, I guess Weitzel's and Huffman's and Soup Hangers, they were just three.
Okay. And people would come to the store and converse.
Yeah, we'd come to on Saturday night. Most every Saturday night, we'd come to Huffman's store and sit around and drink a drink. And sometimes he'd buy a jar of peanut butter and go home and have peanut butter and crackers.
And were there anything else going on? I mean, did they have music or anything like that?
No, there wasn't any music.
Okay. So it was just a way of getting together and seeing people.
Yes. Just to get away from home on Saturday night.
Right. Okay.
The one thing I remember is a guy named Hard Matheny. I was just real little when he had a trailer down here where Bill Bob Driver's driveway is. He had worked on shoes, and I can see that old fellow lots of times. And it was a trailer, but I think it had steel wheels on it. Looked like it was just rolled in on steel wheels.
My goodness. And he did horseshoe?
No, he did shoes. People's
shoes. Oh, people's
shoes.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you called him a cobbler, I believe.
Cobbler.
Yeah, I can see him lots of times.
Did you buy any of his shoes or wear any of his shoes?
I don't know. I just know he lived in that trailer, and every time that you'd come through Brownsburg, he'd be standing at the Farmers Co-op on the cement down there.
So he came in from somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from, but he finally passed away.
All right. Did you all go to other places from time to time, like Lexington or Stanton, Fairfield?
Well, very seldom. Went to a few auctions. When they had auctions around, we'd go to the auction every once in a while.
These were auctions of household goods?
At houses, yeah. We'd go there and stay all day.
So, did you ride on the train that ran from Stanton?
No, I never rode on the train.
Through Rayfield to Lexington?
No.
Was that still operating? Do you remember when you were growing up?
I don't think so.
So is it already?
I think it already. I hear my daddy talking about they would go to Rayfield and get fertilizer off the train and stuff. But
right.
I was too young to know anything about it.
So that was before your time, really? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So how did you all keep up with what was going on in the world? in the county or state, nation?
Well, we had an old battery radio that kept played most of the time, hear the news.
And you, did you have newspapers?
I guess we did. I don't remember.
Don't remember.
I know we had that battery radio, and my grandfather, if any music, if it's on Sunday and any music come on, he'd turn it off. So you ain't supposed to listen to music on Sunday.
Oh, goodness. But you kept up with what was going on in the world by means of the radio program.
Battery, because we didn't have electricity at the time.
Well, that's okay.
I did my lessons when I was going to school with the under the lamp.
So when did electricity come along? What grade were you in?
38.
1938?
When we got electricity out there.
And prior to that?
That was about the time I started school.
Okay, but prior to that, you using oil lamps or?
Yes. Uh-huh.
What was that like?
It was all right, I guess. It felt like you had a good light, even though you didn't.
Did you have fireplaces too?
No, we just had it.
Stove.
Wood stove.
Wood stove.
Beside of the cooking stove.
Mm-hmm. So when it turned dark, it got pretty dark, I guess.
It sure was.
Wasn't much activity after dark.
That's right. You know, I think I remember my mother, houses weren't solidified or anything. Flies could get in. I can remember my mother shutting the blinds and opening the door and swatting the flies out of the house, getting back with a rag and running the flies out.
All right. Let's see, because of that. Any individuals, male or female, that stand out in your memory from growing up in or living in Brownsburg? Do you have any particular people that you
remember? I would say Fred Whipple was just inspiring to me, and he was always taking care of everything, and of course, he was president of the bank, and everywhere you went, it was fun when Fred Whipple was around. He was always teasing somebody or cutting up, and I just admired him so much. I'd say if there was anybody in Brownsburg that put on the top of my list, be Fred Whipple.
Now, this may not apply to you completely or very much. If you lived during the Depression years, which I have put down as 1930 to 1940, do you have any special memories or experiences as a result of the Depression years? Or did your family have any?
In 31, I think depression started in 28 or 29.
Yes, it did.
And I don't remember anything about it, but I remember my dad talking about how bad things were. And it had a drought about the same time.
Had a drought?
Had a drought, yeah. In 1930 and 31, I think it had two droughts in a row. And they would plant corn and it wouldn't get anything off of it. Just dried up.
So economically it was a little tough during those years?
Bound to bend, yes.
But you don't have any
no,
recollections
I
of any problems that you personally
no, not really.
Encountered?
No.
All right. And likewise about World War II. What are your recollections about World War II and how it affected either your family or the neighborhood or the Brownsburg area?
The only thing I remember is they had this night watch where people would come up here to school and watch for airplanes going across. I remember my dad coming up here, and I forget what they called it, but some kind of night watch. If the plane went across, they're supposed to call somebody and tell them there's a plane in there.
Did they have any special facility for that, or was it just from the ground? In other words, there wasn't any air
towers. I
don't
think they had anything. They just, if they saw a plane go across, they're supposed to report it to somebody.
I see. Was that a group of people did that?
Yeah, I think there's four or five of them would be there.
At the same time?
Yes.
How about rationing? Do you remember any effects of rationing?
Of ration?
Of rations, yeah.
Rations? No. I've heard about it, but I don't remember. I remember the ration gas and stuff, but...
Right.
Yeah, I guess I remember rationing. Yeah, because they had stamps. You had to have stamps to get gas.
Did that affect the farming operation at all, to your recollection?
Well, I think it did, yeah. You had to, every once in a while, you'd have to go and try to get more gas to operate your tractors and stuff.
Well, what changes have you seen, good or bad, in the Brownsburg area during the time you've lived here?
Well, I've seen a lot, man. So many people have redid their houses, built new houses, put this new bridge in down the lower end. That was a great help.
Which bridge is that?
Down here at the... I called Finn, where Janice Ayers lived, Finn Patterson Place.
Okay.
Used to be a one
across
lane,
Hayes
one,
Creek.
Yeah, across Hayes Creek. Yeah, there's a one lane bridge down there.
It was a one lane bridge.
And it was in a sharp turn, and that was a great help when they put that bridge in.
We talked about when electrification started, and how about telephones? Did you always have telephones or telephone service?
I think we had, yeah, we had telephone before electricity.
You had that before electricity?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did. Because they had the telephone office here up over the bank. That's where the Matty Wade and Amelia ran the switchboard down there. Every time you want to call somebody, you have to call the switchboard, and they had to call for you.
So that was above the bank building?
Yes,
above the,
up over the bank.
Above
yes.
the bank building?
Yes.
And it was Matty Wade and Amelia Wade?
Matty and Amelia Wade.
Were the operators in the switchboard operators.
And their brother, I believe, Finn Wade, used to take care of all the, taking care of the lines and everything around.
How about the paving of the roads? When did that start? Or do you remember? Were roads, were any roads paved when you were growing up?
Wasn't any hardly paved. Most everything was dirt roads except 252 here.
Right through the center of Brownsburg?
Yeah.
How far did that go, though? It didn't go very far, did it? I mean, it didn't go out to the church. Was it paved? Was the road paved all the way to the church?
It seemed to me like it was what I can remember.
You remember it being paved?
Yes.
Okay. Some people have said it was just the central central area of Brownsburg that was had a paved road.
It could be. I don't
and some remember when it was started. But then it didn't go according, I think most of them said it didn't go any farther than the Hayes Creek Bridge.
All right down here, is that right?
It didn't go to the church.
Yeah.
And also didn't go beyond, much beyond the southern end of town on 252. Might have gone out to like the Reese Farm, but that's about as far as it went. Everything else was dirt road. But I was just asking that for your benefit.
Yeah, I don't know. It
but certainly Dutch Hollow Road was not paid.
Oh, that's right. Definitely Dutch Hollow Hayes Creek Road wasn't paid.
No.
Walker's Creek Road wasn't paid.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the businesses in Brownsburg. You talked a little bit about them beforehand, about the number of gas stations and so on. Were there any other businesses besides gas stations, or maybe a grocery store?
I don't know. Outside of Huffman's and the Farmers Co-op and Soup Hangers, I know they had businesses years ago. They had saddle shops and all kinds of stuff, but that was before my time.
I see. Were there any repair shops?
Well, you had a blacksmith shop. Walter Potter had a blacksmith shop up here.
Where was that located?
On the upper end of Brownsburg in the sharp turn. He would shoe horses and
repair
harness and anything like that. That's about the only repair shop I know of.
How about Mr. Carwell's shop?
Well, yeah, he did run a garage down there.
Garage?
Yes, Mr. Carwell, yeah.
And that was for repair of automobiles.
Oh, yes.
And then the bank was here.
Yes, the bank.
And the telephone company had an office here. Were they always in the bank building, telephone company, or did they move?
I think they were always in there.
Always
in the bank.
Above
the bank.
Mm-hmm. How about the barber shop?
Bud Wade had a barber shop. That's the only one I remember.
Is that where the pool hall?
Yeah, where the pool hall was on the Bosworth. I think the Bosworth owned it. Okay.
Did you play pool down there?
No.
You weren't allowed.
I never did get a haircut there.
Oh, you never got a haircut either. Okay, but it was there.
My mother cut my hair for 50 years.
But. That did operate, the barbershop.
Yes, yeah, the barbershop. I'd go in there and watch them, but I never did shoot pool and never did get a haircut there.
So it was a combination barbershop and pool.
Yeah, they had a ball in there, Fred Whipple and Kenneth Fix and D.W. Whipple. Just went there and enjoyed listening to them.
So that was sort of a community.
It was, definitely, yeah.
Social.
I guess maybe I
don't outlet. Know.
Probably the only social place in Brownsburg. Mm-hmm.
And where was the post office when you were growing up?
I'm pretty sure it was in the Bosworth building right there between the bank and the Bosworth house. Okay. That's the only one I remember.
Until it moved to the Weitzel's store.
Yeah, that's right. When he left down there, John Layton guy. Well, I think the two things that I really miss out of Brownsburg is the bank and the school. I really miss the school and the bank.
The school being the
Brownsburg school, yes.
Which was, when did it change from just a high school to, or when did the high school facilities move away?
Yes, it was a high school, and then it was made a, I think it was a middle school.
Middle school?
I believe, yeah, it was middle school.
And then it was just an elementary school?
Yeah, then it went to elementary.
And now it's closed altogether. And the bank, was the Bank of Rockbridge, that had always been here, hadn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Who was, who worked in there that you recall? You mentioned Fred Whipple was the president.
Yeah, well, Jim Wade and Margaret Wade and Jane Wade.
They all worked there at different times?
Yes, and Bill Heffelfinger, Jen Heffelfinger. I think she worked some.
Did Jen work there?
I kind of believe she did. I'm not likely wrong, but I know her husband did.
Her husband did?
Bill Heffelfinger, yeah.
Heffelfinger.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a meeting place too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, now this is another big question. What stands out in your memory as the most significant or important event or events that occurred in Brownsburg during the time you lived in the area?
The one thing that stands out in my mind was the agriculture fair that the Ruitan Club had. I don't know what year it was, when all the farmers brought in their corn and all their crops and everything and had a fair.
Where was that held?
In the school.
At the school?
Brownsburg School. And then the Ruitan Club had a horse show out on the baseball diamond. I don't know what year that was, but I can remember that real well.
Were you still in school at that time, or was that later?
I think so. I'm not sure when the Ruitan Club started that time. 30.
Well, when did the Ruitan Club start?
38.
Right. Yeah, 38. So it had to have been after that?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably about 40, 41.
Before World War II?
Yes.
Was that just a one-time event?
I think they had it 2 or 3 years up here. And then they got into agreement with Busselberg and started having it together with Busselberg, and they ended up quit having it out there, and then we went to Camp Maxwell.
Yes, the horse show.
Yeah, the horse show.
Was held at Maxwell.
That was just a horse show. Now,
yeah.
What we had up here at school was a kind of a county fair. I could just see corn stacked up all around the building, and it was nice.
Yeah. So you've been involved with the Ruitan Club for a number of years too, haven't you?
50 years.
50 years.
50 years.
Yeah. That started
this year.
This year. So that was,
I'm
in
going 1958.
58. And how big a club was it when you first joined?
I think about
30.
Maybe 35 members, probably. Mm-hmm.
And you've held most of the offices in the Ruitan Club, haven't you?
Yeah, most all of them, and plus district governor, and yeah, I've been working in Ruitan a long time. One of the things that really meant something to me is the Ruitan Club always sponsored us Little League baseball and Little League basketball, and when we had a school up here for 20 years, I would get these boys together on Saturday morning and play Little League basketball, and take them to Busselberg on Thursday evenings to play baseball for about 20 years. That meant a lot.
And did you play on any of the baseball teams?
Oh, yeah, I played for 30 years.
At Busselberg? That was
yeah,
at Busselberg?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I played 30 years out there.
Well, that was a big community activity.
Yes, it was. When I first started playing out there, the stands, bleachers back there was full of old people, people.
Old people came to the game, watched the games.
Oh, I mean, old people, people 70, 75 years old sitting in there. I got a picture of my granddaddy and all the Wades and the Terrells and people from Rotten Bridge Bay. It was just an awful crowd out there.
One thing I should ask you is, well, now you, did you meet your wife here? I didn't mention anything about your wife. How did you meet your wife?
Well, my wife now? No, I met her in Fairfield.
Okay. Well, you've been married more than once.
Yeah, I was married, I met my other wife around here.
Okay. Was she in school here?
She was in Augusta County.
Augusta County. And what was it like? What social events did people go to, movies or what? Or did, when they were dating?
Well, once in a while you go to movies or go to some restaurant somewhere and sit around.
And they had cakewalks.
They had cakewalks.
That inspired a lot of that.
Yeah, it had a lot of people would go to cakewalks.
And they were usually held over at Musselburgh, or did any?
I had quite a few up here at Brownsburg School.
And at the school itself.
Yes.
That's interesting. So there were some activities that.
Yeah.
Happened right here.
Like that. Youth Fellowship did quite a few things.
Okay. And let's see. You have how many children?
Two. Two boys.
And they both grew up here, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both of them live here.
And both of them live here now. Right? Do you have any humorous stories you would like to share with us?
Oh, this guy, I don't know whether I'm supposed to call names or not.
That's all right.
Clint Troxel. Yeah. He was real, he was a town bum, really.
And where did he live?
He lived on Hayes Creek Road for a while, and then the Ruitan Club built him a building right out here on outside of Brownsburg, and he lived there for a while. But he was
a character.
He was an alcoholic. I've seen him stand up against Roy Huffman's store down there, and stand up, go to sleep. Just stand up, sleep.
Stand up, sleep.
But he called himself a plumber. And every time he'd get a chance to go to town, somebody'd take him to town, he'd come back drunk every time he'd come back.
So, his plumbing was sort of suspect, I
think. Yeah, he never used a tape line. He'd take a stick to measure, measure something.
Did you ever work for any of the businesses that were here, the stores or any of those?
No. Things? No, never did.
You're always busy on the farm, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Any family history or events you want to mention, or anything else regarding your family prior to your own family, if you would? Have anything you want to say about any family members? Who do you most? What is your best memory of which family members do you have the closest association with, or did you have the closest? Your father, grandfather, or both?
Well, I guess my father and mother, because my grandfather, he He died when I was about 12 years old.
And were there any other older relatives that lived around here when you were growing up, besides your uncles? And...
No, my grandfather, he came from Amherst County. He was the only sandwich in this area. He started it all here.
And
he's from Orinoco.
Orinoco. If did you have a grandmother?
Yes, she was raised in this area. She was a moneymaker.
She was a moneymaker.
Moneymaker.
So she grew up in this area too. And...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did.
Well, any other subjects that we have overlooked? Anything that you would like to mention?
No, I probably think of a lot after I leave here.
Regarding your life in Brownsburg?
Yeah. I've just always been proud of Brownsburg. My address is Ray Fiend, but why I go somewhere, somebody, where are you from? I said, I'm from Brownsburg.
People recognize Brownsburg.
Oh, yeah.
A lot sooner sometimes than Ray Fiend.
Yeah.
Was it a good... You didn't have any disappointments in growing up and living in Brownsburg, did you? You think it was
no.
Upsetting or... So you would, if you had to do it over again, you would do the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've always been proud of Brownsburg.
Your friends and neighbors, they've all been people that you've admired and
yes.
gotten along with.
Yeah.
Well, is there anybody else that you think we should interview? I know you don't know all the people we may have already interviewed, but if there are any others that you think we should interview for the Brownsburg Museum project, you can let us know at any time.
Not really.
We've been trying to interview people who have lived here for, you know,
yeah,
most
like
of their
Mike,
lives.
Yeah, like Max Deere. Yeah. Molly Sue.
I think
she hadn't lived here all her life. But
she's certainly
been involved a long time.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah, I think she has been interviewed, and a number of others we're working on. We've done quite a few. But if you think of any, let us know. What do you think of the Brownsburg Museum project?
I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad y'all doing it. I just regret that. If the Rutan Club didn't do it before Brownsburg did it. Mm. We should have been on the ball, but we weren't.
It's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of people to keep something like that going. But we're always interested in preserving, really, some of the history.
Well,
and there's a lot of history here.
It is, and this tour of homes is a great thing. It means a lot. A lot of it.
Did you get into any homes a lot? Did you all visit other families? Did you have times when you'd get together with other families at their homes or things of that nature?
No, not really.
In other words, visitations of various kinds, did families visit each other?
Well, we did back in Dutch Hollow. We would walk to the pools or to the swishers somewhere to visit on a Sunday evening.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that did go on.
We'd walk there, but anymore, nobody visits. It's gone.
But when you were growing up,
yeah, we'd walk up to the pools and play with each other. And
so you had people that you grew up with.
It seemed like you had time to do it.
Right.
Now you don't have time to do something like that.
And when did you start driving the school bus? I should have mentioned that earlier.
1988. I'm driving 20 years. 88.
That's been an experience in and of itself.
Yeah, it has. I've enjoyed it. I still enjoy it. I guess I'll drive again next year.
What inspired you to go into that business or into that occupation? Was there a
lead? Well, when I was youth advisor at the church, they had a school bus out there. And I drove that bus, took the youth to camps and a whole bunch of places. And after went out of the dairy business, I decided to into it. Well, I enjoy it. It keeps you busy. You can't go nowhere. If you go somewhere, you got to always keep your eye on the watch, make sure you get back home and take that bus.
Right.
So I enjoy driving people around for the Brownsburg Museum. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I got to get to see a lot of people that I knew.
Yes, right. That hadn't been here for a long time. You mentioned the bus at the church. When did that stop? In other words, when did that cease to do that? When did they stop using the bus at the church? If you know.
2 years? I guess about 2 years ago. You mean a museum?
No, church itself.
They haven't had a bus out there for a long time.
Long time. I don't remember ever seeing.
Yeah, they used to have one. And
and how was that used?
To take the youth fellowship, we'd go to camps during the summer or go to meetings somewhere. And
did they do that when you were growing up, too?
No, this happened after.
After World War II?
Yeah. He bought a school bus from Lewis Swisher, and we kept it up. And Ed Patterson would drive it once in a while, John Mob.
That was primarily for the children.
Yeah, just for the mostly youth.
Did you go to Vacation Bible School? Did they have Vacation Bible School?
Oh, yes, I always had that.
And did you go to those?
Yeah, my dad had an old truck of some kind, and he put a sheet over top of it. Had some kind of benches in it. I can remember riding that thing to Bible school, and we leave Dutch Hollow and go around through Pisgah and pick up all the Smileys and the Gordons and end up in New Providence.
That was a pretty big group?
It was. Probably had 20-25 kids on it.
Wow. So that was a good time, too.
It was, yes.
That was a good time.
I guess there wasn't any buses back in. I know it was some kind of an old truck he had that he put that sheet over top and hauled kids to Bible school.
Well, George, we thank you for your participate in this project.
I'm glad to help, but I don't think I...
Well, you've answered the question.
Well, I tried, but I probably forgot a lot.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, you take.
We'll eventually get a transcript of this made up, and we'll get a copy to you, and you can look it over if you see any things that need to be corrected or of that nature, or you want to add anything, we can always do that.
Yeah, okay.
So you'll have an opportunity to see what you said. So anyway, I guess we'll close this.
Okay.
Interview at this point. And again, thank you for your willingness to participate in our program. And we will keep you posted.
Okay.
Turn that.